Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. I'm your host, Katie Mox. Coming up on today's show, we'll recap week six, and we'll let you know how we did. Plus, we'll preview tonight's Monday night football game between the Broncos and the Chargers. I don't know why the Broncos have yet another primetime game, but here we are. And of course, we will give you some Mox locks. But first, we'll bring in Mr. Monday, Danny Brasco. Danny, big night tonight for the Yankees. How are we feeling?
Game five. I'm sweating, Katie. I'm not in love with how they've been showing up, but you got to just rally for the troops right here and believe that we can do it, get past the Guardians and see our nemesis, the Astros and the ALCS. So I'll be sweating tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's going to get me right into my Mox thought, which is Yankees versus Guardians tonight. They won last night to even up the series 2. Winner takes all in game five tonight to face the Astros in the ALCS, just like you said. And then, of course, in the NLCS, Phillies versus Padres. Phillies won the series versus the Braves 3-1. Padres won against the Dodgers, which I think surprised everyone. But I will say, Danny, you and I were telling everyone to buy low with the Padres, and it's looking like maybe that was a pretty good bet. But how are you feeling about just how everything shook out? I think a lot of people were surprised with the Dodgers and even the Braves a little bit. I didn't really see the Phillies coming out on top here. But what do you think of just what's going on in the playoff race right now for MLB?
Yeah, I mean, pretty wild. The wild card teams are pulling through. I agree with you. I thought the Cardinals were going to take care of the Phillies, and they've really showed that their pitching is stronger than we expected. I mean, Phillies had a lot of holes in their team defensively earlier in the year, and now they're taking down the powerhouse Braves. The Padres take down, you know, the favorite Dodgers. Dave Roberts, before the beginning of the season, guaranteed that the Dodgers would win the World Series. So now there's egg on his face, and we're replaying that clip. Like, the Titans are falling, so I'm hoping that my Yankees, as a powerhouse in the AL, can come through. The Astros are there. It's getting a little wacky. You know, the addition of another wild card team in the postseason has made it really wild. So everyone's got chances these days.
Well, and that's the thing. A lot of chatter on Twitter right now. People are saying that this kind of new format of adding an extra wild card team and then having it kind of best of five instead of best of seven is favoring the wild card teams more so than some of the Titans, as you would say. Do you kind of find this new format, you don't like it, or you find it more interesting, or what do you think?
I think it's exciting because it gives more small market teams a chance to get into the postseason, right? The Mariners were able to end their long postseason drought on an epic home run to end the season. Like, that's the stuff that baseball's made of. We love that. So you do want to see that underdog story and teams that don't have a payroll like the Red Sox, the Mets, or the Yankees that can still compete and get into the postseason. But yeah, like, that is the game of baseball, is its length and duration, right? The 162 game season proves who's the best at the end of all those games. And in a 7-game series, it's a lot harder to beat the best teams than in a 5-game series. So it does change the game up a little bit, but it's certainly exciting and good for baseball.
Let's recap week six. So the Eagles defeat the Cowboys. That was a good one, 26-17. I actually hit both of my bets, which I was happy about. I had the over in the first half. That was at 20.5. I believe we got to 23. And I had Cooper Rush under his rushing yards. They're at 4.5. My man did not rush at all. He had 0 rushing yards last night, so that was an easy hit for me. But I will say Cooper Rush looked like a backup quarterback last night, more so than I think he has. Now, he had 3 interceptions, and this is the first time he was up against a top defense. I will say, I mean, the Cowboys came back in it and only ended up losing by 9 points, but it's time for Dak Prescott to come back.
Yeah, Katie, all week long I was feeling like the Eagles were going to have the better defensive performance than the Cowboys, whose defense has been getting all the hype, the defensive touchdowns, wreaking havoc in the backfield, but Cooper Rush was finally made to look like the backup quarterback he is. I mean, the Eagles' defense, I still believe, is more complete. The Cowboys, when they're not getting the takeaways, they're still exposable, you know what I mean? And now the Cowboys' offense really shows that, right, when they go up against the top-tier teams, it's just not going to be enough. So I was able to cover the Eagles' -6 spread. I lost the under by the hook. I had 42.5. Ends up 43. That's the way she goes. But still an interesting game, and I think it showed a lot about the NFC East that the Eagles are still the class of it, and the Cowboys are a little bit away with that weak offense.
Yeah, absolutely. And your Giants, speaking of New York sports, they advanced to 5-1. The Ravens, or they won against the Ravens 24-20. Lamar Jackson, again, losing the game for his team in the final minutes of the fourth quarter. It's kind of the Wink Martindale revenge game here. I went 1-on-1 this game, took the Giants plus the 5.5, but then I kind of tried to hedge and I took the Ravens team total over 24.5, and that didn't hit. But how are we feeling?
Interesting. I like your bets. You know what's funny too? I bet against the Giants in this game somehow. I wanted it's called hedging your happiness, Katie. I'm happy they won. I could have made money though, right? And to me, the line made no sense. They just beat the Packers and they come in as plus 5.5 dogs against the Ravens. I thought it was the books begging you to bet on the Giants. They were public money line underdogs. Guess what? Doesn't matter. They cash again. Brian Daboll is the coach of the year so far. I mean, every week I come on here and say, Katie, I know I'm a Giants fan. I try to kind of temper the flames on the hype a little bit, right? This is real at this point.
It's 5-1.
Yeah. What are they going to say now? I mean, this is, we're doing this with no receivers. Everybody is hurt. We barely have any weapons on offense and we're still finding ways to win. The winning culture is very real. So I went 2-1 on this game. I cashed 2 Lamar Jackson rushing props, but I lost the Ravens -5.5 and I'm happy about that. A little profit, Giants win. We're 5-1, Katie. Wow.
It's very exciting. But let's talk about Lamar Jackson here, though, because, you know, he turned down that $250 million payday and he has now been the reason, you know, in the final minutes of the fourth quarter a few times this season that they have lost games. Do you think that it's not that he's still not playing well, but this has got to hurt his campaign to get that over $250 million guaranteed money?
Yeah, Katie, you're not wrong. I mean, the season begins, he starts rattling off MVP-level statistics, right? He's running all over the field, he's passing, and all of a sudden, in the key moments, statistics aside, he's throwing game-losing interceptions in the red zone. Like, you know, at the end of the day, we can tally up all the yards and the touchdowns or whatever he ends up with, but if the Ravens don't get those key wins in those moments, yeah, that's what you pay the big bucks for. So, yes,
well, the only stat that matters
right now,
The only stat that matters is winning. And the reason why they haven't won these games has been him 3 times this season. So, I mean, we still got a long way to go. So we'll see how it turns out. But I would be wishing that I took that $250 million. All right. I think the game that everyone was the most excited to watch, the Bills versus the Chiefs. And the Bills won 24-20. This was my best game. I had all three of my bets. I had the Bills -2.5. And then I also had Diggs and Davis for anytime touchdowns. They both got into the end zone. Josh Allen, I think, played just a little bit better than Patrick Mahomes did. He had 3 touchdowns and no interceptions. Mahomes, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. And I said it on the pod on Friday, and I stand with this. Von Miller was the difference maker in this game and for this Bills team, specifically with the pass rush. He had 2 of the 3 sacks on Mahomes. I mean, I think he was all the difference. I really do. I mean, I don't think that anyone was able to get to Mahomes last year like Von Miller did. And I think the Bills are going to go to the Super Bowl.
This is such a great win for them. And it was a good game. It was a tight one, tighter than I expected. I thought the Bills might have ran away with it. But yeah, I agree with you. Von Miller, aside from the 2 sacks that he actually got Mahomes to the ground on, he was just wreaking havoc all day. And he impacted so many more plays, right? Mahomes tried to do the and one mixtape move again, right? He's running around the pocket, tries to throw a sidearm in the corner of the end zone. Patrick, it was really cool the first time. That is a low percentage shot, as they would say in basketball, and it ends up in his interception. I felt like in that moment, and it was early on in the game when that happened, I kind of was like, cash Bills -2.5. Like, I knew we had it right then and there, just doing too much against a team that's too solid. Can't make those mistakes. So I had Bills -2.5 as well, and I was happy to cash that. You crushed it. Hit 2 anytime TD scores. Let's go, Katie. This is a nice game for us.
Yes, I needed it too because I kind of got my butt kicked in the earlier slate of games. And then finally, by the end of the night, I was in the green. But it started off really rough for me. And then, of course, my 49ers loss, which was a thing for me as well. But let's talk about the other New York team, the Jets versus the Packers. The Jets defeat the Packers 27-10, Danny. The Packers have lost consecutive games as 7-point favorites for the first time since 1998. Sauce Gardner, of course, running around with the cheese head post-game, cheese sauce, making some mac and cheese there. So here's the thing. Are the Packers that bad or are the Jets actually that good? My 2 cents on this is the Jets defense is actually legit. The offense is whatever. You know, Williams himself had 2 of the 4 sacks on Rodgers. This is Robert Saleh football. Okay. This is, I know because I'm a Niners fan. This is Robert Saleh football. He was quoted saying, just keep giving them body blow after body blow after body blow and just keep punching them in the mouth. And that's exactly what the Jets did. And I love to see it.
Nasty. I like that. I like me some Robert Saleh football. Low key, Katie, as a Giants fan, I've always had a soft spot in my heart for the Niners just because of that gritty, hard-nosed attitude they bring.
Just keep punching them in the mouth.
Talk about culture, right? That's a defensive football culture I love. And I totally agree with the way you put that. The Jets defense is legit. It sucks to play them. It really does. And they're stingy. But more so, I think the Packers suck. Like, they're bad. They're really bad. I don't know how else to put it. Like, And I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel for them. Who's going to come in and save the day? Like, Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback. If you've been watching Packers games and watched week after week how they play each different team, I haven't.
They're gutless.
Yeah, there's not that much to look forward to. So, I think they're going to struggle a lot this year. Yeah, they'll beat some bad teams, but yeah, they can't beat good defenses.
Well, the thing is there isn't protection for Aaron Rodgers. I think he's been sacked more this year than he has certainly in previous years or recent years. He struggles to find receivers and to just get that deep ball and move it down the field. And it's just, it's just bad, bad, bad.
And
speaking of bad,
I was going to say, sorry, Katie, that last year their defense was really strong. They could win games on the back of that defense if the offense wasn't really clicking. This year, not really the case. They're giving up 24 plus all the time.
Okay, speaking of bad, the Buccaneers versus the Steelers. Steelers defeat the Bucs straight up as 8-point dogs. I went 0-2 on this game, and I owe the Steelers an apology. I faded them on their team total. I took the under. I didn't think anything would happen, which, of course, they certainly got over 17.5 here. And I also took the Bucs to cover the spread. So I have egg on my face in this game, but I mean, what's up with Brady and Rodgers, right? I mean, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady finished 1-2 in NFL MVP voting last season, but they look nothing like MVP candidates this season. Sunday was the first time ever that Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers both lost as 7-point favorites in the same week. Brady's off to his worst 6-game start since 2012. Rodgers is also off to his worst 6-game start since 2012. Both have 3-3 records. So we can talk about this Bucs game, but like, I'm more interested in like what is wrong with Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers.
It makes no sense. I mean, maybe age is finally catching up to these timeless wonders.
Yeah.
Maybe finally, right? I can't believe that the Steelers won this game. I was never going to lay the Bucks with the 10 or 8 wherever they closed, but it's unbelievable that they pulled off the win. Trubisky is back. Mitchell Trubisky is back on the field, and he led the win for the Steelers. Yeah. So, at this point, like, what do you make of the Bucs? What do you make of the Packers? I talk about overreactions a lot. We don't want to say the season's over or, kind of put the nail in the coffin quite yet. These are two great NFC powerhouse teams. Where's the hope on the horizon is what I'm asking. I just don't see what's going to fix these teams. So I think it could be tough sledding for both of them this year, and maybe they end up underwhelming us a lot when it's all said and done.
Well, the Bucs have the absolute, where they rank in the bottom of the league, their rush attack. They cannot run the ball to save their life, which of course I think puts a lot of pressure on Tom to try to throw the ball all the time. And there's something, obviously we know what's going on with Tom, right? He's going through a divorce. He has all these things. But even just this week, it's like he went to Robert Kraft's wedding. He apparently missed a practice on Wednesday, didn't go to a meeting. That's just not like Tom. Tom is the fiercest competitor there is. I think his personal life is taking a serious toll on him, and this is just going to be an ugly season for him and the Bucks. All right, Bengals versus Saints. The Bengals, defeated who dat 30-26. Joe Burrow back at the Superdome for the first time since the national championship. He comes out a winner. He threw for 300 yards and had 3 touchdowns. Andy Dalton looked like Andy Dalton. He'd moved the Saints down to the Cincinnati 41 in the final minute before throwing 3 incompletions and getting sacked on third down. So like Andy Dalton, I don't even know why he's still in this league, to be honest, but Joe Burrow looked pretty good.
I think Dalton's serviceable. You dogged him, but I think he's solid. I mean, he's been okay for the Saints. And it was actually a closer game than I expected. The Saints closed at +3.5 after their receiver Chris Olave was announced out. And those 3.5 home dog lines are so, so appealing to me. They cash all the time. I was just a hair away from clicking that button, and I didn't bet it. Thank goodness, because the Bengals won by 4, and I would have lost by the hook. But it was a tight, tight game. I didn't have a great read on it, and sometimes I'm more interested in like the betting perspective and how that played out than even what happened on the field. And so that's kind of what I was keying in on there. But really interesting game, and I didn't know how to attack it. I'm glad I didn't.
All right, people, we're brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. See, it's not just about the daily promos, odd boosts, or the hundreds of ways to wager. It's about the immortal words of Caesar himself. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Every bet you place on the app, no matter the outcome, earns towards exclusive perks at Caesars Rewards destinations everywhere. Hotel stays, concert tickets, bonuses, and more. Download the Caesars Sportsbook app, become a Caesars Rewards member today, and get more with every wager. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700. Lions, Tigers, and tailgates. Oh my, the college football season is always a great time of year. Besides the jerseys, the face paint, and the foam fingers, there's the food. And nothing gets you more fired up for game day than Eckrich Smoked Sausage. They're naturally hardwood smoked and have the perfect blend of spices. From buffalo sausage dip to sausage chili mac and cheese, Eckrich Smoked Sausage is a quick way to bring flavor to all your tailgate meals. Visit Eckrich.com for easy, one-of-a-kind sausage recipes. Eckrich, you do you. Football season is here, and nothing beats seeing your favorite team live. Not only does Vivid Seats have great NFL ticket prices, they're also the official ticketing partner of ESPN. And with Vivid Seats rewards, when you buy 10 tickets, you get the 11th free. Download the app or visit vividseats.com today. Vivid Seats, life happens live. Receive a reward credit equal to the average price of 10 tickets purchased, excluding taxes, fees, and processing costs. See vividseats.com/rewards for terms and conditions. Time now for Capper's Corner, and we're going to preview Monday Night Football, yet another Broncos primetime game, this time versus the Chargers. Denver 2-7 straight up in its last nine games. Chargers 8-3 against the spread in their last 11. The total has hit the under in four of Denver's last five games. I don't know what we deserved, what we did to deserve this kind of Broncos situation again, yet here we are. Look, I'm just going to go out and say it. I'm taking the under 45.5, and I'm taking the Chargers to cover the 4.5. Broncos 1-4 against the bread. They're 1-4 against the bread. Broncos are 1-4 against the spread this season. That is the worst five game against the spread of Russell Wilson's career. They have lost five straight road games. They're 0-2 this season. Since 2016, the Broncos are an awful 2-17 straight up and 4-15 against the spread in divisional road games. And the Chargers are getting healthy again. I know they kind of, you know, laid some eggs in the last couple of games, but they're getting healthier. They're 4-1 against the spread through five games. And look, I just think Justin Herbert is a winner, and I think they're going to get the win here. I know the sharp money is all on the Broncos, but I can't do it, Danny. Can't do it.
How do you blame you, right, for not doing it? But, you know, this is an interesting matchup right here. And I think it's a sneaky one, kind of under the radar, where there's a lot of things that people might not see. Like, coming into it, yes, of course, we're all groaning. Like, why are the Broncos on prime time again? Who made the schedule? Curse you, sir, because this is silly. I mean, I get, you know, little football watch parties with my friends, and no one's having fun. So, you know, we just want to have a good time.
No one's having fun. Straight up not having a good time.
Exactly. And as Katie likes to say, let Russ bring an appetizer at least. So I'll get into my first bet here, and that's hopefully that he can bring a little side dish and go for his longest completion over 37.5 yards. Despite low scoring games, despite an anemic offense at times, Russ has uncorked a bomb in almost every game. You look at all his games, there's a 30-plus yard reception. Yeah, no, it's 30-plus yard reception for all the receivers, even, you know, in 11 to 10 games against the Niners. So, you know, despite the weak offense, he actually is still second in deep ball pass attempts. He's still airing it out. And and the Chargers have a weaker secondary than I expected. They acquired J.C. Jackson from the Patriots in the offseason, and that was a move that I was really excited on and that I thought would really bolster that Chargers defense. Katie, he's been a shell of himself since returning from injury. He's given up 15 receptions on 20 targets to him. So he's kind of like a liability out there. And I think guys like Cortland Sutton or Jerry Jeudy could stretch the field. So I like Russell Wilson to uncork one and get the longest completion over 37.5 yards.
Well, I'll kind of tack on with that one. I like Cortland Sutton over 66.5 receiving yards as well. This is at -120. He is Wilson's number one target. He averages 83 receiving yards per game this season. The Chargers do have a great pass defense, but, you know, without Joey Bosa, it really has taken a hit there. Amari Cooper was still able to go out for 76 yards and seven catches when they played the Cowboys. So maybe Cortland and Wilson can cash us together with one good throw.
I like that a lot. I'm not going to bet on Cortland Sutton as well. I feel like he could be the beneficiary of that deep ball. So, yeah, and I think that J.C. Jackson will have problems guarding him. I mean, they got Jeudy and Sutton to worry about. So, you know, they don't have a Patrick Surtain on the other side who's like that shutdown corner for the Broncos. So look for that. Maybe Russell Wilson has a better game than we expect here. I mean, he's played some tough defenses. This one with the Joey Bosa injury is a little less strong than I had expected it to be with Derwin James and Khalil Mack, right? They're actually kind of getting exposed in a lot of areas. So I'm going to add on to another Broncos player that I think can have some nice stats tonight. And we did the deep ball, and that's been working out a lot of the time when I play these longest completion over props. I also like the dink and dunk, little alliteration for you there. And I go with running back receiving yards over props. So this one, I like Melvin Gordon, and he's cashed on the show on a Monday night for us before. So let's see if he can do it again for us. Over 14 and a half receiving yards. I mean, you feel the pressure, right? Russell Wilson struggling on the offense. What's the easiest thing to do? Check down. And Melvin Gordon is the lead back now. It's him and Mike Boone, you know, with the injury to Javonte Williams. It's really just mostly Melvin Gordon. So I think that Russell Wilson can find him for a couple catches. It's a low total, and he catches this over 14 and a half receiving yards.
Are you taking anything game side? I like the Chargers, and I like the under.
I am, Katie. And I don't like being on the opposite side of you. It hurts my heart. But I am going to go with the sharp money here, and I'm going to go with the Broncos plus 4.5. It's so gross. I agree with you. It's disgusting. But here's what I feel is the key here is the overreaction spot. Is we look, you know, the narrative coming into this one is Russell Wilson is cooked and the Broncos are worthless. Their season's not over. They're what are they, 2-3 right now? I mean, it's been a disgusting 2-3, and nobody has had fun watching it. But I think this could be a game where their offense actually comes alive a little bit. The Chargers struggle. I know, it says a bold
comes alive.
I know.
We've been trying to resuscitate it for several weeks now.
Literally, like they need an AED on site for that offense. But like
the defibrillators,
it's a bold take, and if I'm wrong, like I'll come back here and be like, I'm so sorry that was
whatever. I mean, look, it's the sharp play. And a lot of money and a lot of sharps are on it. For sure.
Like if you take a look at the key statistic is really pressure rate is what I'm looking at. And the Chargers, since Bosa has gone down, have not gotten good pressure rate. Russell Wilson's statistics drastically change when he's under pressure versus when he's not. With a clean pocket, he's got a good completion percentage, 4 TDs, only 2 picks. You know, with an unclean pocket, that percentage goes down to in the 40s, and he's no touchdown throws. The Broncos also are god-awful in the red zone. They have a 21% touchdown rate in the red zone. That's second to last in the NFL. The league average is 44%. So they're so underperforming. I feel like eventually if they get down there, maybe there's some positive regression in this one where they start to score a little bit and cash in on those opportunities. So I feel like they'll make this one close at least, and it could come down to a field goal, divisional matchup. I want the 4.5. I think Chargers could win by a field goal. It's kind of how I see it playing out. So I'll take the plus 4.5, and I'll clench my teeth the entire time. All right, I got one more for you guys. We're going to flip the narrative here, right? I'm saying that I think the Broncos offense can actually show signs of life. And I think Justin Herbert might be the quarterback to struggle in this one. Oddly enough, the Broncos have the second-ranked pass DVOA. Patrick Surtain, like I alluded to before, is a blanket. I mean, their secondary is really good. And Herbert, similar again, flipping the narrative, we talked about Wilson against the blitz versus, you know, when he has a clean pocket. When Herbert is not blitzed, he does phenomenal. He's a 108 passing rating. He's fantastic. Yeah. Against the blitz, it drops to 78.7, which is 28th among qualified quarterbacks. So the Broncos get good pressure. Their defensive coordinator likes to run blitzes. And if they're able to get home, I think that he might be the one to struggle. Katie, I'm going to take a page out of your book. Remember when you cashed on Derek Carr under passing attempts on the Raiders Monday night game?
Yes.
So we were talking about how the line was set curiously lower than his average. And you still took it anyway, thinking, well, yeah, this line's kind of low. But I thought, hey, why would they set it lower? Odds makers don't set the number there for no reason. In fact, you were all over it.
That cash, take it. Yeah.
Right. That cash would fly in colors. Justin Herbert's passing yard total is way down from his average. He's averaging about 295, but the total set at 266 here. I think it's bait to take the over there against a really good pass defense and a good pressure D-line with a defense coordinator. I think the under 266 and a half pass yards for Herbert is the play here.
Hard to argue with that, considering it just cashed last week. So I might look into that one with you.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Time now for Mock's Locks. And I got to tell you, in the pre-show, a lot of people that work on this show are Yankees fans. And it was negative Nancy time in here. Everyone is nervous and they don't want any kind of positivity. They're trying to get some reverse jinx things happening. But I'm going to take the Yankees. I like the Yankees on the money line, minus 150. And I like Jameson Taillon, who is 14-5. I like him over his strikeouts at 3.5. He has never made a postseason start in his career. He needs a bounce back after coming in for relief on Friday and laying an egg. He had no outs and 18 pitches and allowed 3 hits and 2 runs, but he had 5 strikeouts per game pitched versus the Guardians this season. And he had 5.8 strikeouts per game pitched in the last month. I also think the Guardians just missed their opportunity to close out this series. New York is 3-7 straight up in the club's last 10 games when facing an elimination. And since 2010, a little bit closer, they're 3-2 in elimination games at Yankee Stadium. Also, Savale went 5-6 straight up this season with an ERA of 4.92, and he gave up 93 hits and 53 earned runs. I think the Yankee bats are just going to go off tonight. We're going to get some good dingers. Yankees win, and over 3.5 strikeouts for Taillon. Let's go.
God bless your heart, Katie. You heard her. You heard her. That's it.
That's it. What do you got for tonight? I know you're not betting on the Yankees because it's too close to your heart.
Way too close to my heart. I would have no ability to separate bias from real logic. So Monday Night Football it is for me for my Mock's Locks. I'm going to go with an anytime touchdown score. I'll go with Melvin Gordon, who I took his over receiving yards before. I think he finds the end zone tonight too. Broncos have really struggled to put the ball in the end zone. And I think Gordon as a centerpiece, lead back, pass catching option will find his way in there. So plus 150 on that.
All right, let's go. Danny, thank you so much. Good luck to the Yankees tonight. Good luck to us on all of our bets. This has been Moxie Bets presented by Caesar Sportsbook. Don't forget to follow us on social @MoxieBets, and we'll see you next time.